Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called to gather us here this day to receive his gifts through his word.
The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Trinity is from 2 Samuel chapter 22. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely, and with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. O Lord, have mercy upon us. We now read responsively by half verse our introit, which can be found in your bulletin. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. For I know my transgressions. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Let me hear joy and gladness. Hide your face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, How much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If, then, you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what do you think? Have we learned our lesson yet? According to our epistle reading for today, you'd think that we would have. All of those stories in the Old Testament are there for a reason. God didn't just tell us them because he felt the need to tell us funny stories. He's trying to teach us something with them. And Paul here gets explicit about some of those things. He says that they took place as examples for those present at the time, but that they were written down as instruction for us. Or in other words, God did the things that he did in the Old Testament so that the other people of that time would look and see his actions and learn something from them. And in fact, that's the very same reason that he had them written down. After all, if you think about it, a whole lot of other things happened in history that God simply didn't write down. Even there were a whole lot of other things that God did in history that he simply didn't have written down. Which means that the stuff that he did have written down is there for a reason. He wants us to learn something from these stories. He wants us to learn about him and about our behavior and about how we should act in this world. And this is particularly important for us because, as Paul says, we are the ones on whom the end of the ages has come. In other words, we are in the last days. Everything that has needed to happen before our Lord returns for Judgment Day has happened. It's all been done. Jesus can return literally any moment. And therefore, we ought to strive to be ready any moment. And part of that means looking at these stories and understanding what it is that he wants us to learn from them. But we're really not good at that, are we? We're not even really all that good about learning from our own history, our personal history of what's happened in our lives, let alone learning from the history that happened 2, 3, 4, 5,000 years ago. What we normally find happening is that we find ourselves committing the same sins and falling into the same bad habits that has happened to those who came before us. We do exactly the same thing. And God's warning is clear here. He's got these kind of four issues that he brings up in particular. First, and perhaps most important of all, do not be idolaters. In other words, don't break the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. And you know, I think most of the time we sort of imagine that we do this pretty well. We think we've sort of managed this one okay. After all, we aren't pagans, right? We're not going to worship Zeus or Odin or Allah or any of those things. Everyone more or less thinks that they're pretty good believers, or at least that they're believing in the right God anyways. But notice Paul's follow-up on this. He says, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Well, that might sound like us. There isn't any talk of pagan worship here. There isn't any talk of going to another god's temple. There isn't even any talk of having like a shrine or like a little idol in your house anymore. This talks about sitting down to eat and to drink and rising up to play, which all of us have done. So what is Paul getting at here? And the question really comes down to this. Where is God? Where is God's will being done? When you sit down to eat and drink, do you recognize the truth that the only reason you have food and water and drink is because God has given it to you? When you get up and go to play, do you recognize that the only reason you're able to do that is because God has given you healthy bodies that are able to go out and play? Do you realize the truth that there are other things that you can be doing as well to serve your Lord? Or is your entire life only about eating and drinking and playing? Because to be frank, that's sort of what kind of the American dream is about, right? Something that we need to be careful about. Ultimately, the question of being an idolater comes down to this. In whom do you put your trust? Do you trust God? Do you fear God? Do you love God above all things? Including yourself. That is the question that the Old Testament teaches us to ask about being an idolater. But that is not the only issue that Paul brings up here. He also brings up, do not indulge in sexual immorality. And you can probably imagine, maybe this happened to you as you were going through it, and you're like, oh, we've got this one. We are not homosexuals, we are not rapists, we are not like Sodom and Gomorrah, which is probably what Paul's talking about with the 23,000 in one day thing. We aren't even listening to all of that trans nonsense that's going on. We're doing good on this one. Or are you? What about sleeping together before marriage? Are you doing okay on that? What about looking at someone with lust in your heart and desiring them? How are you doing on that? What about divorce? How are you doing on that? Let us not be so quick to assume that we are perfect, or that we have accomplished following the commandments when we in fact have not. Paul moves on. Do not put Christ to the test. Well, what do you think? Do you question God's plan, even just in your hearts? Do you presume to think that you know better than the God who created all things, who created even you, who knows all things? Do you think that you have the authority to test Jesus? It's easier to fall into that trap than we'd like to admit. Even something as simple as saying, God, if you're really real, do this, that, or the other thing. God, if you're really there, why are you letting all of these bad things happen? It's an easy trap to fall into, to think that we can test God, rather than to think that God tests us. And last, but certainly not least, do not grumble. You know, I've heard someone say before, and I honestly don't remember who it was that said it, but I've heard someone say that it is every soldier's God-given right to complain. And I don't know, maybe that's true. But it's not true of a Christian. And you all know exactly what this means. This isn't someone who's legitimately trying to help a situation. This is someone who's grumbling against God. Again, someone who thinks that they know better. Yes, better than even God himself. And they grumble about it. Take heed. You who think you're fine, you who think you are standing strong, lest you find that you fall. Our text today makes it clear that we must be vigilant against sin. And as we're going through that list, it undoubtedly made it clear to you as well that we're not, that we failed, that we do fall into these sins. And you are free to hear the wonderful truth of what our Lord did about that problem. That when he came and he died on the cross, that he did it for idolaters. That he did it for those who were sexually immoral. That he did it for those who tested him, those who grumbled against him. That our Lord died on the cross for all people, for all of the things that you have done wrong. And he did it because you couldn't. He did it because you needed him to. And because of that, because he died on the cross, your sins are forgiven. You are forgiven for those times when you don't trust in him like you should. You are forgiven for those times when you are not sexually moral. You are forgiven for those times when you test him, for those times when you grumble against him. And that is really and truly the truth. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. Jesus died for your sin. You recognize that sin, you confess that sin, and you are forgiven for that sin. God's not going to come and try and bring it up again against you. He's washed it clean. That's what his son's sacrifice earned for you. And the good news is that our Lord knows how easy it is for us to fall into those traps. And he makes it so that resisting these sins is, in fact, possible. Paul lays out kind of two things here. First, realize that you and your temptations are not unique. This is one of the ways that the devil will try to get at you. He'll try to get you to sin, first of all, and then once he gets you to sin, he's going to come at you and he's going to be like, oh my gosh, you are just the worst sinner ever. I can't believe you did that. Even though he's the one who tricked you into doing it, because he's a little liar like that. But the reality is that there is no sin that you have committed that hasn't been committed before. That there is no sin that you have been tempted with, that somebody else hasn't been tempted with as well. Your temptations are not unique. And part of the wonderful thing about that means that there are others that are fighting against that very same thing. That it's possible to get help from those people. Secondly, and most importantly of all, know that God is faithful. He will not abandon you to your sinful desires. He didn't come and die for you simply to let you wander off into hell all by yourself all over again. He's not just going to leave you alone. He's not going to forsake you. And perhaps most comforting of all is the promise that we hear in this text that he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Within the temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, let's be careful about what the actual promise here is. Because people will sometimes take this text, and this is where they get the idea that, oh, God will never let anything happen to you that you can't handle. That you will always be able to deal with whatever comes your way. And that's not what God promised. Listen to what he promised. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. And within that temptation, he will provide a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. He doesn't promise that you're always going to be able to stay a stable, healthy Christian in the midst of all of the tragedies, all of the sadness, all of the things that are you can get rightfully angry about even sometimes. He doesn't say that you're always going to be able to handle everything that life throws at you. But he does say that when you're tempted, when the devil throws temptations at you, when your own sinful nature brings up those desires inside of you, when the world tries to lie to you and trick to you and peer pressure you into doing the wrong thing, that there will always be a way out. That is the promise that he makes you here. If you are struggling with a sin, know this truth as well. You are not alone. All people are struggling with sin in one way or another. But most importantly of all, God will not abandon you to that sin. He will not simply let the devil tempt you to the point where you have no choice. The devil cannot take your will away from you. Not only has God not abandoned you, but we as Christians will strive to not abandon you as well. We fail in this at some times, and that's something that we need to work on. But this is what the Christian church is supposed to be: a group of sinners who are coming together to receive the forgiveness that we need, and who are striving to empower each other, striving to help each other in this life at the end of these ages. This is what we're here for. Again, hear the truth. We are not perfect. We struggle with all of these things that Paul has laid out. But this is the very reason that Christ died. This is the very reason that Christ came, to earn the forgiveness for those times that we fail, and to be with us as we continue in our struggle against those sins, forgiving us for those times when we fail, even now, even as we are Christians. He still forgives us, but he also still empowers us. You are free to trust in him, free to trust in the God who died for you, free to trust in Jesus, who will provide you with means of escape from any temptation that comes along for you. And free to trust in the God who will forgive you every single time, no matter how many times you fail. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.